guys, welcome to episode 4 of Pods and Rec, where we are talking about season 2 already of Parks and Rec. We've got some. I'm Tammy Clark, one of your lovely hosts. And to my right or my left, it could be either one.
I'm Stephanie Garza-Silvis.
Choose wisely.
With us, as almost always, is Bradley Silvis.
I've officially missed one podcast.
You have. You've been there for 3.
He's
my hubby.
Third time's a charm. This is going to be a good one, guys.
And then over here, sitting next to me, who do we got over here? Who do we got?
Who's this guy?
I once won a costume contest dressed as Ron Swanson.
Yes!
Boo, 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 boo! Tyler Kelly!
Woo! Welcome to be our very first guest, because Brad's not a guest anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like it takes 3.
I got a promotion, guys.
I'm very happy to be here on the delicious dish. I mean.
Yep, Brad's here for good now. Can't get rid of him.
I'm a mainstay.
We try and try and.
I live in that room over there.
He just keeps coming back.
He won't leave.
This is like my pit, and I'm like, Andy.
So we've moved on from mediocre season 1 into season 2. You got an opinion about that?
This is one of the very few shows that I feel has been consistent throughout.
It's consistent, but there were definitely some downers in the first season.
For real. Do you want to know what Rotten Tomatoes rating was for season 1?
Yes. It was weird little researcher you.
I'm sorry, like looking at stuff.
I like it.
We haven't even talked about, like, how everybody's day is and stuff. Like, how's your life doing?
We'll get to that. No one cares about you.
But literally every season of this show, people are like, it's going to get canceled. And somehow it kept getting renewed.
Yeah,
that's what I was saying in the beginning, is that the first season was very underrated, that a lot of people didn't like it because of The Office, because they had high expectations. But Rotten Tomatoes actually gave it a 7.4 out of 10 for the whole first season. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah. It's pretty good for Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, but who knows how many. It was probably like 20 people on there who were just like, I love it. And then that one brought it down.
That one outlier.
The Office also kind of had a down first season, though.
Oh, they did.
Like, it's like, that's.
Yeah, The Office has ups and downs throughout, especially.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't watched The Office.
It's okay, I'll censor it out and be like, leaves.
What did he just say?
We'll never know. Tyler, do you also want to give your address and social security number?
But this isn't a podcast about The Office. It's a podcast about Parks and Recreation.
Silly.
Thanks, hubby.
So, Brad, do you want to talk about how your weekend went?
Yeah, I did. It was good. Like,
did it involve a lot of drinking?
Secrets out, guys. Yes. Yes.
This is an explicit podcast. We could talk about.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We could talk about how many fucks we give.
Drinking.
Some more drinking.
Yeah.
And then we wrapped the weekend up with the Jags win.
I had a really, really good, like, this was a perfect Brad weekend.
And you know why he was probably really good is because I was at work all weekend.
Aww.
I wasn't around
him. So many things to celebrate.
You know,
she's drinking a beer and she's getting feisty, lady.
There's only one thing that could have made this weekend extra better, and that was my woman being there.
It's a little late for that, for your perfect weekend.
That's so sweet.
Gotta suck up while I can.
Stop getting mad. Think back to your first date at the wedding.
Here's the news.
Flashback. Commence.
And we need like a Wayne's World, like. That was a good, like.
Yeah, it was.
All together, guys. I appreciate that.
But so my weekend, it was like pretty perfect for Brad. I went.
Simple.
I like talking in the third person as well. Good. That's really nice.
Let me tell you about the grand.
Well, it started off with the hero of the night, who I vote for this podcast, hero of the night, Rob Knopf, for figuring out our microphone.
Whoa. Big old shout out to you, Rob.
Yeah, so we actually upgraded. It only took 4 episodes. We upgraded to an actual microphone, which is pretty nice.
Let me
this
upgrade
is a sweet
you. I don't know why I'm still leaning into the computer when we have a microphone.
I could stand on the other side of the room if I needed to.
And who do we have to thank for that? Not yet hubby.
Zing.
Oh
my god, what
is
that?
Wait a minute. What?
This just
became the play a game.
You need to do it like Oprah's favorite things and be like, look under your chair.
Everybody's got got a Yeti. Well, you get a Yeti. You get a Yeti. You get a,
we're saving that for our Christmas episode, all right?
All right.
That's when we go. I want
to
do that,
but I just want to have to be pudding pairing. So everybody's just like, aww.
Pudding pairing. That's all an right. old Regal thing, an old throwback Regal.
Oh, yeah, I was probably like 8 at the time, so.
Yeah, you probably were. No. You were way too young for pudding.
You would just buy terribly oversized women's underwear and fill them with pudding.
We'd fill them with pudding.
Why would you waste your money on
people's cars and stuff.
You guys were serious bullies. Every story you ever tell about y'all in high school.
We only did it for people that deserved it.
Yeah. Stuff happened to us, too. Somebody slashed my tires.
Yeah,
and before I even worked there, there was one time that somebody hid a used diaper up in the ceiling in one of the hallways.
Oh yeah.
So take it from these guys, kids. Don't work in theaters.
Don't go to the Regal on Phillips Highway.
I don't know. I never worked in a movie theater. So.
I loved it so much. It's my favorite. Oh,
sure. All right. So be wary of guys working in theaters because they play pranks on each other and do stupid things.
The girls
but
did it.
You can hang out with all the Tammies of the theaters.
Yep. We're the cool ones.
We found a tampon under the theater.
This girl that I knew, I went to high school with her, and she also worked at the theater with me. She would saran wrap people's cars on her break.
Oh.
And we live in Florida, where the saran wrap will melt to your car and chip the paint off of it. Someone called the cops on her. She went to jail.
She went to jail. Speaking of jail.
What segue do you have?
There was one time where Brad and I just left work in the middle of our shifts to go buy Spider-Man web blasters and went blasting somebody's car.
Guess who still has that, by the way?
She's pointing at her husband.
His penis.
Yeah.
No.
Whoa. Not safe for work.
But not that explicit.
Yeah, we're gonna have to cut that part out.
He said weenus. He's talking about the space between my pointer and my thumb.
I was talking about the Spider-Man web blaster. We still have it. It's in the closet full of Brad's toys.
Full of cobwebs.
It's pretty good.
Spider webs?
Yep. That's the same thing.
He still had the
cobwebs
can of the webs,
made by
too.
Spiders.
Are they?
Yeah.
The web of a spider.
Learn something new every day, kids.
It comes from a spider's butthole.
Okay, so how was your weekend, Tyler?
it was really good. Friday night, Tammy and I watched a ton of Fargo season 2. We need to go back and watch season 1.
Oh, it's so good.
Is this a preview for your recommendation of shows?
Yep.
This
episode sponsored by FX.
And then Saturday night, we had the first annual Krampus party, which Tammy was beyond on point with.
It's a first.
Yes, my punch killed everybody.
Yeah. I was going to say, was it White Christmas? I keep forgetting what it's called.
Dirty Krampus.
Dirty Santa.
Well, you can call it Yankee Swap. You can call it Yankee Swap, Dirty Christmas, White Elephant.
The point is, I bought a Nerf gun and a Nerf bow and arrow so that I'd be able to get one of those at the end of the night. Didn't work with either.
What?
He uses Android devices.
So we had Kicking It Krampus, which was really fun. It was Tyler and I's first annual holiday party together. Can't wait for the next year. I think everyone had fun.
Was that your first official party that y'all thrown in?
It kind of was, yeah. Because we never had a housewarming party.
We had all of our 4th of July's with David.
Well, just the two of you.
We're talking about Sans Davis.
I just felt like it's not the first party that we've thrown
in. It's the first party that we've had, though, together, me and you. And it was a lot of fun. I was in our new place. The comment of the night was, oh my God, I love your entertainment center. And I felt like such a grown-up talking about like financing through Rooms to Go.
Yeah. Sponsored by Rooms to Go.
Rooms to Go.
You can get an entire room for like $9,000.
But you don't have to pay interest for 5 years.
For 5 years.
Sign me up.
Next.
Oh, no.
Don't give them any play.
You guys, I'm really excited because I have Death Star in my cup right now.
Yeah, you do.
It's very cool.
Classic.
That was actually a Christmas gift that Brad opened early because I got two of them to give to my brother.
Wow.
And I wanted to give my brother, it's his birthday on Friday. Mm. Happy 30th.
Hey, buddy.
Which will already be 30 by the time this airs, so.
BG.
Happy belated birthday, Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, Bob.
And then then we have Christmas. So
are you talking about her dad?
Speaking of Bob, shout out to Bob Garza.
Oh, Bob Garza.
There's always a shout out to Bob Garza. Love you, Bob.
Love you, Bob.
Or
Bob.
Or dad.
Saw your milk and cookies plate. Super cute. I haven't added you on Tapped Out yet, but I will.
You need to. He's waiting for it. He's like anxious.
Dang it.
Because I told him, I asked him what his thing is.
To graffiti your town.
I know. Well, right now it's Christmas time, so you can leave like naughty or nice presents, and I want to leave all naughty ones
absolutely
in his town.
Get him.
Well, he's really nervous because he doesn't know that you can do that. He doesn't know like what you're going to do. My mom told him that it's going to be you, that you're going to be messing with his town. And I wanted it to be a surprise, but he wouldn't stop asking. But he's like, doesn't know when it's going to happen. It's like, it's when you least expect. It's like Slapsgiving.
It's like super anticlimactic, though, because it's just like, oh, someone graffitied your town. And you have to like click it, and it makes a little like scrub brush thing, which is fine because I'll graffiti it like by the time he listens to this. So this will be super, super, super anticlimactic for him.
All right.
It's all right, Bob.
It'll still be amazing. Because then he'll be like, somebody else please Tapped Out. Be my friend.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, she's only like level 85, whatever.
Whatever. I'm a level 2078.
She's only got one town.
So I guess we should probably start talking about the episode, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Sure. We watched Parks and Rec tonight.
We did. This was our season 2 premiere, which was very exciting.
It was.
There was a lot of controversy in these first 2 episodes, which was fun.
They were really good episodes.
The first episode is called The Pawnee Zoo. It aired originally on September 17th, 2009. And the synopsis says...
April 17th?
September.
September. All right.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yep.
Same thing. So close. Hoping to promote the local zoo, Leslie arranges a penguin wedding, but things don't go as planned when they realize the birds are both male. So,
I guess.
So, would that make it a... That's not even a mid-season replacement. That's a summer show. So, right. Normally when networks have just reality television over the summer because ratings are down low, this was something that was actually scripted that's very unheard of for the time.
What do you mean? It started in September.
Yeah.
Well, yes. This is episode 1 of season 2, right?
Yeah.
Yes. The first episode...
I thought she said April 17th.
No, actually...
I thought it was April.
Okay. Yeah, actually, the first episode aired April 9th, 2009. So there wasn't really that big of a gap between the two.
Oh.
Yeah, it went from April, and then I don't have... I can look at it right
now. It was just that good, they had to bring it back a couple months later.
It was. Boy, did they bring it back, though.
This episode has a very strong theme of... promoting gay marriage, starting with the penguins, who ended up both being male. And Brandana Dix is back, which I'm pretty pissed about. Thought he was a...
Not gay.
Brandana Dix is not gay. No, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, did you notice that there was twice Tom had like a... He had to correct himself because he didn't want to come off that he was gay? He had a couple of homophobic moments, like whenever he was showing the shirt. And then whenever he walked in, whenever they were at the Bulge, and he was just like, I've seen a lot of government employees here. And he's like, isn't that great? And he's like, but they're going to see me here.
Because
they would think that he's gay. So he had a couple moments of, is Tom homophobic?
Interesting. I never thought of it that way.
I think it's more he's just such a player, he's afraid of any sort of rumor coming out and affecting his deal with
life. I mean, is that like homophobic or insecurity? Like, I'd say like...
Definite insecurity.
Yeah, I would say it's more of an insecure thing.
Because Leslie almost comes off a little homophobic too, but it's only because like she's protecting her political security.
Yeah, it's like political pressure.
Yeah.
That's her playing by the rules and by the book. Like she normally does, except for the episode where they're all in the boys' club, which I feel like is so...
boys' club.
I feel like that was so... It was non-Leslie, you know? Anyways.
No.
But yeah, there was a lot of... This episode was an entire... around gay marriage and gay rights, which is really interesting because at the very end of the episode, not to jump to the end, but she says that she transfers the penguins to...
Iowa.
Iowa just... they just legalized gay marriage... It was April 13th, 2009.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
And then after that, Indiana didn't legalize until September 4th, 2014.
Wow.
So, and then officially this year, June 26th, 2015, everybody got on board finally.
Woo! Go so, you, Florida.
We did it.
Thanks, Rick Scott.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. You just got fired.
Yeah, I can beep that out.
That's crazy, though. Iowa being the first state to legalize gay marriage is like, you don't even think about
it's
Iowa.
Not the first. It was just one of, like, yeah it was
I
the
forget about that state a lot.
Yeah, it was the club, like, the soonest. That's why. Actually, these...
What was the first state?
What does that even mean, that it's a flyover state?
What that means is that there are people who are just coastal. They're either on the West Coast or the East Coast. The only time they see these states are when they're flying over them and they look out the window.
Yeah. Hmm. I never even thought about that saying, actually.
Me either.
I didn't either.
All I see is clouds when I look out the window.
Is Wyoming one?
Unless it's
I feel
a
like,
clear day.
Yeah. I feel like, yep.
Unless you are
yep.
like, touching the ocean, you're a flyover state almost.
Yep.
The other interesting fact about this episode is that it actually won a GLAAD Media Award,
ooh.
Which is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation.
Nice.
You
so
go,
they
Glenn
won it for an outstanding individual episode in a series without LGBT character.
Very cool, very cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that, so I just thought that was really, really interesting. And they probably, it probably was more, I don't know the word I'm looking for. It probably happened just because of the recent news with Iowa and everything. So.
It might have. I'm trying to think of, like, other TV
more
shows
topical,
around
like,
it and see if, like, anyone else was really doing that around the time. What about that Rizzoli and Isle show? Are they together on that?
No.
Are they lesbians or are they just, no. like, best friends?
Just
is that show
friends.
Still going?
No, it's not. But I was trying to think of, like,
oh,
shows
I
around that time. I think it did, yeah.
I think my mom watched it. My mom always gives all the crime shows, like,
Playing House.
Tyler and I recently started watching CSI Miami. And it's
so good.
Terrible, but... It's
is that
really
David Caruso?
You recently started
is
that.
Is it David Caruso?
David Caruso?
Is it David Caruso?
He... Whoa. You can't say that you recently started watching that together because Tyler just bamboozled you. He's a big Caruso fan.
Really?
He
this is something we haven't talked
this
about
is like
in years.
One of the original internet memes in my favorite.
He
Since
loves
our
him.
11th grade
I've never even
forensics
heard his
class.
Name.
Yeah, so I...
When, I can tell you all about David Caruso.
When Tyler and I first met...
Talking CSI Miami.
When Tyler and I first became friends, we used to argue over the fact of which was better, Las Vegas or Miami.
Because
I watched Las Vegas with my parents.
Yeah.
And Las Vegas is actually really good. But Tyler's like, no, David Caruso, because he does all these stupid little, like, it's like sunglass flips and stuff. And says something dumb. I'm just like, ugh, he's the worst. I want to punch him in the face. He was my original Nicolas Cage that I wanted him in the face.
His name is like Hurtado.
Nicolas Cage
Hernando.
Is one of my finest actors.
It bothers me that he has a Hispanic name and he doesn't look Hispanic.
Who? Horatio?
Caruso. Yeah.
Horatio.
Yeah, Horatio. Is that a Hispanic name?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
That's
super
good. We haven't even gotten to Malinoche Justice meet Miami Justice.
I don't even know what you just said.
You can save that for your podcast, Caruso Boys.
So the bulge, right?
I know. Like, I got so excited when they introduced the bulge.
I feel like my death starts exploding. There's a crack in it.
Oh.
It's a thermal exhaust port. It's a weakness.
So the bulge is here. Oh, one tiny thing I wanted to point out. So Leslie does, you know, her penguin marrying and everything. And as part of, you know, the gay community being excited, they send her a cake. And she says, you know, nobody eat the cake. Don't do it. And Jerry immediately starts cutting into it. And I noticed that and it made me laugh because it's Jerry.
I didn't see that.
It's like, nobody eat the cake. And she walks away and like blurred in the background is Jerry taking the knife and just like cutting into it.
Quick fact check. Rizzoli and Isle still on TV.
Damn.
Oh.
I should be happy because she's a forensics person. I've just never watched it before.
There are better ones on TV, I imagine.
You should do a check for whether they're lesbians yet or not.
They're not.
Okay.
That could eventually happen.
Plot twist.
It could.
It's like a Luke and Lorelai thing. They're going to wait till season. Spoiler!
I'm pretty sure that also had the guy who, back in the day on the Disney Channel, was the star of the famous Jet Jackson, but killed himself.
Oh.
Tyler's a downer.
I thought that was Crossing Jordan.
No. Crossing Jordan is another one of my favorite shows.
This episode of Pods and Rec, where we talk about every other TV show ever besides Parks and Rec.
Parks and Recreation.
So if you're going to talk about that, what do you think of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Wow. I think Leslie can rap it pretty good. She wraps it in the beginning.
I just wanted to mention it at least once.
Donna has a speaking part.
Yeah, and she actually, she has normal hair. She doesn't have, like, her weird little, like,
she has Donna
pin-up hair.
I wrote down Donna. Speaking part, sass, new haircut. Normal Donna.
Normal Donna.
That's what I have.
Normal.
Yeah, that was good. Oh, did you notice that the episode, this is the first one that doesn't open up in a park with Leslie in a park?
Oh, you're right about that.
Yeah.
It opens with Ron Swanson's face. I love him.
But oh, Ron Swanson has his own debacle here in this episode.
No, that's the next one.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. What have I done?
This is why you take notes, Brad. No, this is the one where Ron opens up and she does her whole rap, and then he's like, there's a person on fire in the park. Which I'm surprised that you immediately didn't start singing.
Parents Just Don't Understand by Will Smith.
No, there's another song you want to sing.
Which one?
This Girl's on Fire.
Yeah, go for it, Brad.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it, Brad.
I'll start it for you.
Do it.
Tyler.
We can do it one at a time.
I need a beer.
We'll just go.
This girl
is
on fire.
That's perfect. That's beautiful, guys.
Yep, just, we're going to the Jingle Bell Ball this year. Guys, you'll see us on 102.9 or whatever.
Jingle Bell.
Where's Ryan Seacrest?
Ryan Seacrest, would you be on?
get confirmation that Ann and Andy have broken up because they kind of left season one, like, are they or aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
No. They totally are. And Andy's living in the pit.
Yeah, I actually wrote down how far do you think the time jump was? Because the only thing that they mentioned as far as any, like, kind of, like, point of time was that Mark spent a week with her in the hospital after he fell in the pit, which I'm going to bring up something else. How annoyed are you that you didn't get to, like, hear a little bit more about him falling or, like, what he actually broke? It's just like, we hung out, joked about some man's tramp stamp.
We flirted and stuff in the hospital, real weird.
Whatever. It was strange. It was
stupid.
So who do you hate more, Anne or Mark?
I think I hate Mark, but I do have multiple notes of just, like, she likes Mark. Gross. They're flirting. Gross. It's just, like, gross comment after
It's
gross.
Like a race to the bottom, almost.
Right. Like, it's like, who is so going to be the worst? And maybe it's just from me knowing that Anne lasts a little longer than Mark in this show that I'm like, all right, I'll give Anne a chance. Sorry for that spoiler.
So, but, I mean, who it's kind of guess obvious
at this point that, like, Mark is on his way out?
Or just that stupid. Anne stays for...
Or that.
Yeah. So was their celebrity couple name be Man?
Mandanowitz?
Mandanowitz.
Or it could just be Anne Danowitz.
Ark.
Or Merkins. Mark Perkins.
Mark Perkins.
Mandanowitz.
Man what?
Perganowitz?
Perganowitz.
Man Perganowitz. There we go.
All right, that's the name because...
And Danowitz.
Stay alive, damn it.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, where was Tyler for that falsetto part?
Ooh.
Yeah. So Leslie is a hero in this episode for the gay penguins, which was amazing.
Yes, but she is also a sinner in this episode.
With what's her name?
Marcia Steinberg or whatever.
Langman?
Yeah. Langman, yep.
What was she? The Society of Bitches?
Something like stable families or something. The SFSF.
It was stupid. It was bad.
She definitely comes back for other stuff. She's always
she's the one who's married to the obviously gay guy.
That's a spoiler.
Yep.
That's a great
few seasons in the future.
I definitely thought that they would introduce that in this, but
if you've never seen
this. So, quick question. Leslie is so politically minded, and that's her career. Her entire life is her career. But she so quickly throws that out the window when all of a sudden there's a bunch of people who like her and accept
giving her shots.
Yeah.
So do you think that she really is for gay marriage, or she just wants people to like her?
I
think it's more of one of those things where she doesn't really care. Not that she's against it, but she's like, these are just people. They should be happy. They should love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Plus, I'm the queen of the gays. So.
Queen of the gays.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They gotta have a queen.
That does kind of sum up Leslie's whole life. She's very, very fun-loving, but, I mean, she loves government. She wants to make everything literally a government event.
Well, she definitely has the personality trait of a politician in that, like, stroking her ego kind of just makes her love you more. Like, whoever's going to do it the most mm-hmm. is just like, yeah, that's who I'm with.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know. I love her for it.
I do love her, but sometimes I feel so bad for her. Mm. And I hate that. There was also more moments in here with... I hate to bring this up all the time, but it's just because they're so parallel. But there was a speech that she made while she was in the bar, mm-hmm. Talking about how she was accepted by them. It was complete Michael Scott. Like, it was something I could see his face just, like, saying this. Because it was, like, kind of in a, I don't want to say in an ignorant way, but it was kind of in one of those, I don't know.
Like a stuck up kind of.
I know what you're saying.
It was pretentious without meaning to be.
Yeah.
So gay, and they know how to have fun, and the dancing just it's everyone is just who they are, and who they are is just stone cold gay.
It definitely sounded like Michael Scott to me, just of how she worded it and everything. I was like, okay, that didn't sound like Leslie, but they're still kind of hashing out the characters a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love that she was just so proud to be the queen of the gays.
Yeah, dancing with her rainbow flag at the hold.
I wrote that down, that I love it every time Leslie dances.
Yeah. She's like a gay superhero.
But I love later on how she's talking to Ron about it, when he's just like, what did you do? And she's like, and two of them are taking me shopping on Saturday. I'm going to find out my actual bra size. She's like,
secretly, she's in a bisexual relationship with two other men, and she doesn't realize it.
Well, were those Abrams two other men?
Yeah.
Get the names.
Okay. Yeah, okay. It was Derek and Ben.
Derek and Ben.
Yeah.
They could have gone to Pitchers and Catchers, though. That would have been a good bar, too.
It's true.
See, I feel like at Pitchers and Catchers, though, you have to be clearly defined what your role in a relationship is. Mm. Or the bulge, you can just go and people have fun.
You can just be you.
You just got to like the environment.
You just do you.
You just do you there. So April has a boyfriend named Derek
and Ben.
And Derek has a boyfriend named Ben. And April hates Ben, and Ben loves Derek, and Derek likes April. I think I have that right.
Yeah. And Leslie just doesn't get it.
Nope.
It's the confusing. Thing about youth culture is I don't understand it.
I just don't understand it.
I think Stephanie made a really good point earlier, though, sort of about the analog between Leslie Knope and Michael Scott. And it's kind of weird, because I feel like Leslie almost has more character development and change throughout the show. Whereas with Michael, like, there was some growth and change, but then he just kind of hit a wall.
It took a long time for him to change. He had moments where he completely redeemed himself, mm-hmm. and you just really, really loved him, where he was totally sweet. And then he had moments where you're just like, you were a man-child.
Yeah.
No. He made the most, like, inappropriate jokes all the time. He was definitely very homophobic, and he was always pointing out, like, races and stuff. It was just... That's definitely, if we do that show, you can have your, continue the, is this racist segment with Tammy?
Racist or not?
Well,
racist
really or not. Good point, like, you've got the dinner episode, which is one of my favorites, where Michael and Jan have everybody over for dinner, and he's so proud of the flat screen and stuff.
And then he breaks it.
But then you have, like, the Michael's Kids episode, where he's like, I'm gonna give everybody scholarships.
Oh,
Scott's tots.
Scott's tots.
He means well.
So, how excited did you get with Leslie singing Lady Gaga?
I got very excited. It made me want to sing it along with her, but I let her shine.
Yeah. I'm glad you took it well.
I took the back road, and I let it happen.
Or the high road.
Or the high road.
She took many roads around it.
My poker face. Okay, see, you just did it.
That's all you need. You're going to be singing it all morning.
Leslie, surprisingly in this episode, is Tyler's spirit animal. Why? Because she says that she hates salad. Tyler, tell us why you hate salad.
Because the texture makes me want to vomit instantly.
Oh, I thought it was going to be because it's rabbit food and you're not a rabbit.
This is even better. At the Jaguars game yesterday, which the Jags won.
Yeah. Dropped the 50 burger.
My friend David, who I went with, he brought a bunch of fruit in the game for us to eat also.
Hey, David.
And he handed me a grape, and it took me about 2 minutes to try to eat it, and I couldn't. Like, I was about to vomit.
What was wrong with the grape, though?
I bit into it. It crushed and tasted like wine in my mouth, which is fine. That was good, but all of a sudden, like, I just started dry heaving, like I couldn't take it.
Oh, right there in the middle of the game, in front of everyone?
Dude. Yeah. So the seats just cleared out around you, and you're just like, well,
did
this worked like
up
a charm.
An old lady?
We have front row seats
thinking,
now.
Like, if you would have vomited, that would have been like four rows down. I'm just,
all I had to do
that's
was
actually
eat it
a very good idea if you have somebody very annoying around you.
It's kind of how I feel about watermelon, but, you know, we can save watermelon for another time.
Mm. I'm sure it will come up eventually. There's a couple of park barbecues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can talk about your stance on various barbecue fruits.
Barbecues.
Melons?
What?
Melons?
No, I don't know.
I like all foods.
I do too.
Except
for okra. Fuck okra, man. It's all slimy.
I don't like peas.
As a kid, like, your parents should force you to eat a bunch of foods to try them and like figure out what you like and what you don't like, and that didn't happen enough for me.
I personally don't think that you should eat something that your body also does. So
okra?
Peas.
Oh. Does your body okra?
That was the best. I liked it. Good. Comedy gold.
I should be a comedian.
There's two different P's, though.
Aziz Ansari, show me your comedic ways.
Mm-hmm.
Aziz, on
so
this podcast.
So if you were Aziz, what would you name P's?
What would you be
like,
the
what would be your cutesy name? Although
what
we haven't gotten to
master?
That part yet.
It'd have to be a terrible hip-hop artist.
Yeah.
It'd be like the Casey and JoJo's.
You're going
to
call it like...
Master of Podcast.
Oh.
With Aziz Ansari.
I was trying to think of a...
I'm going to call it Greeny Circles.
Greeny Circles. Mm-hmm. I was stuck on green, so I like it. I was going to say Greeny Balls. No,
greeny
nope,
balls.
Not that. Nope.
No. Greeny Balls
moving
is
on.
Cute. But sure, I think yeah. Circles is more childish, so yeah. I'll go with that. Greeny Circles.
Greeny Circles. So did you notice... I know Brad noticed it for sure with a guy at the... Pawnee today was asleep, the cameraman.
No,
the
I didn't.
Yeah.
Brad's like, he's asleep.
Yeah, but
well,
like,
they just cut to their cameraman, and he's just, like, asleep there next to the camera.
He must have a great job.
Well, it's because they use the same shot the entirety of that show, where it just frames all the guests, and they don't move, they don't cut in on anybody.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I guess he doesn't have to work.
Local
not
access.
A lot of action for a cameraman.
He's probably also really tired of Joan Calamazzo hitting on him constantly.
Who, this is the first time that we see Joan Calamazzo.
Old little cougar.
Good old Mo Collins from Mad TV.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, mm-hmm. True.
That was a really good impression.
I had to. Yeah, she's good.
She is good. She is. I'm really glad that it's not really a spoiler, but she does come back.
Yeah, she's a recurring character.
But I love, like, the awkward flirting. This time she wasn't into it with Tom flirting with her, just in there complimenting her.
Yeah.
Like, she was just kind of like, oh, But in the past, she's, like, giggling. Like, later on, she's just, like, giggling. Like, oh, Tom.
Tell me more.
Tell me more. But yeah, she's one of my favorite characters in the show.
Jeez. Have we met just like her. Purge yet?
Nope.
Okay. No.
Not yet. Who's that?
And it's Purd.
I thought I said Purd.
I thought you said Purge.
No,
Purge.
She said Purd.
I fell into the Purd.
Into the Purd.
Well, I couldn't remember if his name at first was Purd or Purd.
It's Purd, Purd with Purd. Yeah.
Andy, speaking of his song, Andy comes back.
Yeah.
And he does come back.
In his monkey suit.
In a $3,000 suit.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He got a office job in the city.
Well, I mean, we'd have to ask
he would be very
suit expert Nick.
After going rock climbing in Kansas.
He very Vincent Adultman it.
Yeah.
Just like, in my cube where I do business.
Maturing.
Where I was maturing.
Maturing, yes.
So you've also studied words.
But surprise. Where does he live?
Secret's out. He fell into the pit.
Oh.
We all fell into
rest
the pit.
Peace.
Oh, fall in there.
It's really
with him.
A metaphor.
Yeah. It is.
I love that
professor.
Scene. I love that scene in his underwear and he's just trying to scoot it
out and squeeze in his tent.
The hardest part about living in a pit is keeping the suit pressed.
Which is really funny because right before Brad was
like
how did he keep that suit so clean and pressed?
Yeah.
And he said that was pretty hard.
And they immediately explain it.
this episode overall was really good. I liked it. And I think we all agree on the same MVP.
I think we're unanimous. I think it is our gay queen, Leslie Knope.
Leslie Knope. Queen of the gays.
Is that two in a row for Leslie Knope?
It is. It is.
Leslie's batting 1,000 right now.
Yep. Leslie, we salute you and all of your gayness.
By the way, my Death Star finally blew up. It cracked in half.
There was one other thing that I did want to mention about this episode is whenever they were at Pawnee Today, Leslie
that
said...
Yes,
it
that's
was.
What, that's what it was called.
Yeah. Okay.
It was Pawnee Today. Yep. Leslie said, would you rather me commit harikari?
Harikari, which is like the Japanese ritual form of male suicide.
Yeah.
With a knife.
But yeah. They said, like, it's not, it's harikari, isn't it? It's H-A-R-A.
No, it's pronounced harikari.
Yeah, but she said harikari.
She said
harikari.
Oh. Yeah. Harikari. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so I just wanted to point that out. Because it was kind of a dark reference for her to be like, you want me to just slice open my guts and just...
Ew!
Yeah, she's a samurai in her off time, so... You know.
Yep.
You know.
Tyler, what do you rate this episode?
It's gotta be out of 5.
Yeah, you're new here, so we'll, like, tell you the rules.
Make you go first.
So, let's go with 4 out of 5 water slides out of 6 Flags.
Nice.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
The reason for that is, like, this show, it's very easy to have a Leslie-centric episode, but you still had enough fun with the other characters.
Yeah, I agree.
That's one of those things, like, with a cast, it grows over time, but they do such good stuff with such little screen time with some of the people. Tom's quick quips, like mentioned earlier, about like seeing all these guys from town hall, like, wait, what if they see me? Mm-hmm. Like, it just creates such a distinct impression of that character.
Well, yeah, you're starting to get to know the other characters. Mm-hmm. They're finally not just focusing on like one or two. So,
like, they had an off season to think about it.
Ah, and it's kind of funny. Of a couple months.
They brought back like every character, but the only one they tried to like make you pay attention to a change in their character was Brandenowitz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's more apparent in the next episode for sure about how much he changed. Like, he's trying to be more lovey, but
so, don't care.
Focus groups told us they don't like this guy.
Yeah,
they don't want me in their focus group. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So, how would you rate it, Tammy?
4.3 out of 5 bulges.
Ooh, it's a good one.
Thank you. I had 2 good ones, but I went with 1. So.
Yeah, well, we want to save the good ones, and if nobody says it, then
I'll give you my other good one.
Don't.
Right. Brad, what do you say?
I said 4 out of 5 heterosexual cowboys.
Nice.
Yep. We still don't know if he was wearing assless chaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with that heterosexual cowboy greeting us on the way in.
So, I rated 4 out of 5 heterosexual cowboys just because I feel like this was the first feel-good episode about Leslie Knope in, like, the entire series. Like, this is...
It's pumping you up.
It's really getting you going. Like,
she takes a stand on something without even meaning to.
Yeah.
She does, accidentally, but she like, kind of realizes what her side is on it.
Yeah.
And, like, it's obviously, like, you know, what I would probably think. So I feel like, you know, you go, Leslie Knope. You be that...
Bully for you.
Nope.
Well, can you imagine how she's going to be on something that she really stands for and knows she stands for it?
Man.
Ooh. We can only dream.
Watch
now
out.
Now we're going to get some of that
world.
Leslie Knope.
What about you, Steph?
I gave this one a 5 out of 5 monkey suits.
You went for a 5?
I went for a 5.
Whoa.
I really did. Just because of it was... It was a really strong opener, and they brought in a lot of controversial stuff, and I thought that that was really brave of them, mm-hmm. and I really like that they tied it in with current events. It was really interesting and really nice that they did that, so it was very relevant, and I don't know, support gay marriage, man. I was
just so sad that that was an issue. Mm-hmm.
It's sad, but hey, as of June... Whoop, 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 whoop.
Also, we are coming
everybody
live from the Bible Belt.
Except for you, what's her name? Smith Bitchface? What was her name?
The county clerk?
Yeah.
Marcia.
We don't even know her name, and that's the best part.
Yep. She's not important enough to know.
I forgot her name.
Her name's not Marcia Langdon.
Marcia Langdon. Langman.
Yeah,
stupid Marcia Langdon.
Might as well be.
Yeah,
stable family like suck. Everybody's a little cray.
Yeah.
Yep, everybody's a little bit cray. And racist.
Yeah.
Everybody's a little bit racist.
In hell.
I was hoping somebody would get that.
Sometimes.
So the last thing I wanted to mention, just because nobody else did, was the poster that they make of
Nope.
Which is very relevant because it was the Obama. Yes, we
Obama
can
change.
So this change. Is 2009. So that's what his year that he went into office,
that'd
right? Because
be
he got elected
campaign,
in 2008.
January
2009 would be yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Back when he had a full head of black hair.
That's not true.
Actually, he. If you look at like, there's a bunch of pictures of like what presidents look like their first day and what they look at the end.
Yeah.
And there's like an obvious difference. It's kind of sad.
The JFK looks really bad.
Now I want to just look at this. I'll be back later.
You evil, evil man.
Those are my footsteps walking away. I don't know if you can hear them.
Oh, that's more appropriate for the next episode.
Yeti. Oh, yeah, you're right.
So anything else for this episode?
Any closing thoughts on this?
Any closing thoughts?
Go gay marriage. We love you.
No, not for Ron Swanson, but he's coming.
I'm glad that those penguins made it to Iowa. Especially after Leslie takes him in, like, a minivan and spritzes him in the face all the way there.
I hope they're
was
like,
that to keep
together
them,
and happy.
Was that to keep them
yeah.
away from each other or to keep them, like...
No, it was to keep them happy. And
yeah, the best part is, like,
it's just like,
you,
no, hanky-panky in here.
What happens to the penguins? You're like, oh, I'm glad to hear they're okay and safe somewhere. They're just like, oh, no, they're in the back seat.
Yeah, there they are. They're not on some water slide somewhere. That's for sure.
Aw. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, moving on to season 2, episode 2, The Stakeout.
Yes.
Woo! It was originally aired September 24th, 2009. The synopsis says, Tom and Leslie discover marijuana planted in the community garden and gets permission from Leslie to go on a date with Mark, which is kind of a spoiler if you think about it. Because they talk about it and talk about it. And Oh, no. It was the end of the last episode and she's like, it's okay.
I think it was. She went to her house and was like, "Dork."
Yeah. What did you think of Leslie making her like fake mocha with her coffee? She's just like putting all the chocolate syrup.
It
and
had
cream.
Coffee in it, which I was impressed.
It reminded me of Tyler actually, because he'll cover anything in chocolate syrup.
Except for my coffee, which I drink black.
I feel like you probably don't. I feel like you probably don't enjoy it. Like he's just like Ron Swanson based, like
black coffee and brown liquor make a man.
I saw her eating it with a spoon at one point, and
she's like, "Oh, this is good coffee."
Full of whipped cream.
And this is also where she says, "Uteruses before deuteruses."
I was gonna say that,
but I got so excited.
I know, it was so good.
Which was actually one of our ideas for the podcast was uteruses before deuteruses, but Pods and Rec seemed more appropriate.
But if you use that, that means it sounds like your favorite part about the show was their friendship, and that's not the best part of the show.
Or that we really like lady parts.
No, I mean lady parts are awesome.
Well,
and SFW.
But I would always rather have Berdanowitz instead of Anne for the rest of the trip.
Oh my god, you are exiled right now.
That's that's a very difficult stance to have. When was the last time you watched season 1?
Well, Tammy and I did not watch the show until the last season started.
That's not true.
I'm sorry, that's when I had watched all of it. You'd watched some previous.
I started watching before we dated.
Okay.
See,
I remember that time.
I'll be honest. I feel like Mark Brandanowitz, and this is going back to the Office connection.
Be careful what you say right now.
I feel like he was supposed to be like a Jim lookalike to me.
Yeah.
Like, he was just supposed to be that character who was charming and, witty, but...
And he just couldn't pull it off.
Yeah, he just never panned out.
Yeah, maybe they started, like, with that character and then just realized... We can't have another Jim, so we have to make him be like a ladies' man douchebag, but then try to redeem himself at the end. Like, he always realizes what he did wrong. But just watching him, like, trying to be in a romantic role with Anne is, it's like, I can't fall for it yet. He's really, I do, and I find it cute, like, their little banter back and forth.
I do not, absolutely. No, I made a note of that, like, makes me want to die inside when I listen to it. I don't mean to discredit you at all. Please finish your thoughts.
No, I mean, I just... I always appreciate when people are more sarcastic and kind of poking fun at each other on a date rather than just being, like, that awkward obvious of just, like, you look beautiful tonight. Oh, here are flowers and chocolates.
I definitely get that. They just gross me out. I do have to say really quick, though, one of my favorite movies in the entire world It's called The Family Stone. Mark Brandanowitz is in it. He plays Rachel McAdams' like old flame from high school, and he's actually not that terrible in it. He's like a ambulance driver, and she comes back into town, and he's there, and he's like, "Hey, remember me? You used to love me." And he's actually really cool, but he's terrible in Parks and
Rec. So he's playing his character well.
So you don't hate him as an actor per se. You just hate his character.
Correct. I just hate his character because he's great in other things I've seen him in.
And I can see that a lot. Like, I really liked the role that his character played, like the one watching everything happen with every other character and be like, this is insane. These people are crazy.
Are you talking about Family Stone?
No, I'm talking about Parks and Rec. Like, he's the one who just sits there and watches all this happen, like, even with the Tom stuff. And he's just like, what is going on? This is ridiculous. And they realize, like, no, this show is just going to be about the craziness and nobody's going to tell them they're crazy.
Yeah, that's a good point, because Mark always tries to be, like, the voice of reason, and you're just like, man, shut up, Mark, let these people be who they want
to
be.
Yeah, and so, like, that was interesting to me that he had that role, whereas we have Anne going on for, you know, almost the rest of the show, and it's like, her character barely does anything, and you're just like...
Well, she's the same, though, like, I feel like she's pretty similar on
that.
Yeah,
like,
so
many other characters really change, but she's just like...
She's still, like, the voice of reason, trying to keep Leslie, like, sane, wearing her bird shirts. Which I
There's only,
have a shirt with birds
only room
on it,
for
but,
one,
you know.
And I guess Rashida Jones won it out. So.
We all lost. Thanks a lot, JetBlue commercials.
So, this episode had one of my favorite people introduced in it, and I was very excited.
You knew way before I did.
Yeah, I was very excited whenever I saw his name pop up, and I was like, "Yes, it's finally he's here," which would be Louis C.K.
Yes, but. Tom. We gotta talk about Tommy T in the beginning.
Oh.
With his names.
Do. Yeah. What would your... Okay, I actually wrote this down as a fun game. What would your rapper plant be named?
Oh, that is a good one. I would say...
Mine is Fresh Prince. Like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I didn't know if you were trying to
Parents
play out
just don't understand.
Something that links to the last episode.
Yeah. I didn't put a lot of thought into it. Mm. Or you can do the Vanilla Icicles.
I would definitely do some Two Chainsiums right
two
now.
Chainsiums.
Two Chainsiums. Two Chainsiums.
Maze. I'll do some Kanye Westums.
Ooh. And they're all douchey.
Yeah.
Chrysantha Drizzles.
Drink. Drizzles.
You're welcome. Grid Drizzles. Drizzle my drizzle.
Next to the... to the Kanye West, whatever I said.
Next to the tulip snoops. Tulip snoops.
Tulip snoops.
Tulip snoops.
There'd be the gold diggers.
Ooh. Ooh, that's a good one.
Azaleums.
I was trying to think of a good Nicki Minaj one and I can't.
Super bass.
Ooh. Anaconsoluses.
So what did you think?
Tupoxies?
Ooh.
The other question I had about this is, what do you think is in Leslie's gorp?
Oh, God.
What is gorp?
That was like the trail mix bag that she handed to Tom when they were getting ready for the stakeout.
Yeah, so it's supposed to stand for, like, granola.
Oreos.
I don't know.
Like dehydrated oranges.
Raisins.
Razzles.
So that could have been Razzles. Because you know it's probably all going to be candy.
Mm-hmm. Push Pops.
Yeah. So it's probably, like...
What's a good
Oreos, raisins, pralines?
No, that's not.
Pecans,
gummy bears.
Nice.
Gummy bears.
Gummy bears, Oreos, Razzles, and push pops.
And Pinot Noir.
But pralines are pretty good too. That's candy.
You are my favorite person right now.
I still say we need to do that.
Pinot Noir.
Leather bar. Myanmar.
So I love that show so much.
So good.
So what movie do you think Anne and Mark went to go see? Did they say it?
Yeah, when they were looking at the newspaper earlier, it's like, oh, that food documentary. Oh, yeah, I wanted to see that. Yeah, I wanted to see that, too. We should see that together. No, that would be like a date.
Was it Fast Food Nation?
They might have seen Fast Food Nation.
I was expecting them to go see, like, Fool's Gold or, like, Failure to Launch. Not that those are terrible movies. I actually kind of like them, but they're a ridiculous couple.
It's one of the... They're not... they're not terrible, but they're not good. They're just kind of like one of those like filler, like, what are we going to do this Sunday?
Yeah.
I guess I'm just going to put on Family.
Same thing we do ABC every Family. Sunday, Pinky.
Watch Fool's Gold.
Go watch Fool's Gold.
We actually haven't even gotten to the best part of this entire episode.
Say
it. It has nothing to do with the weed in there or the stakeout.
I know.
It is Ron fucking Swanson.
Yeah. Ron bleep Swanson.
Yep.
Yep.
What a trooper.
He's got a hernia in this episode, and, you know, he's not letting it keep him down, because he's Ron fucking Swanson.
The best part is how he gets this hernia.
But, this morning, I made the mistake of sneezing.
Can't help it.
Did you hear?
It's hilarious. It sounds like someone scared him from behind, and he was like, ah!
Ron Swanson sneezes in the morning at some point. And has a hernia.
How awesome is Nick Offerman for just, like, all he's doing this entire episode is sitting in a chair, staring off angrily, and he plays it so fucking well.
Not moving his head, neck, shoulders, anything. Once in a while, you'll see him move his hands, but...
It's when you know you have a talented actor, when, like, they don't have to do anything, and it's just brilliant.
He's complete face expressions, and they are... wonderful.
They're gold, yep.
Like, his whole explanation, even whenever he's saying, I have a hernia, or after he sneezes.
April, order me lunch.
I love that she just brings it, like, a foot closer.
Get my lunch, and then she's like, what, you mean, like, order
it? Is this a power play?
Is this a power play? And then he's like, no. From there. And he points, like, maybe 2 feet away from him.
And he tosses.
He just can't get.
He tosses the burger in his face and doesn't get close.
Burger in his face and misses.
I just feel like that would be such a waste of a burger to him. Like, I think he loves meat so much that we would literally have someone feed it to him.
We couldn't tell that his single tear was rolling down his face.
Like the old Native American PSA.
Aww. The Wamapoke Indians, you mean?
Trail of tears.
Bringing it back up.
I was born ready. I'm Ron Swanson.
This is after April finally comes back for him, walking into the office, seeing him just clearly in pain, then going home for like hours, and then coming back the next morning to drag him out of the office. And she makes a point to hit like everything that she can with him.
Because he's rolling in the chair.
That's one of like the amazing parts. It's just all the noises that he makes as he's hitting things. He's like...
Well, it's almost like the beginning of their relationship, too. Because they actually end up evolving into kind of like a sweet...
It's like a mentor-mentor.
Yeah. Mentor-mentee kind of relationship. And it's pretty cute. And so this is kind of like our first exciting interactions between them, too. She keeps him young.
Yeah, this episode had a lot of meat to it. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Because there's still a lot to talk about. I mean, it's
from... Still no Jerry, though.
No, actually, who? Did you notice, going back to the first episode of the season, that is Chris Pratt's finally in the credits.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He was reoccurring in the first season.
Yeah, he was a guest actor, which right now, the actress that plays Donna and the actor that plays Jerry, they're still considered guest actors.
Mm. Mm. They didn't want it to be like another Everwood. Wah, wah. Mm. Which Chris Pratt was on, by the way. That's why I just referenced it.
That was beautiful. I loved it.
Thank you.
So there was an interesting fact that I found out about when Tom was arrested. Apparently that scene mirrored when it was Henry Louis Gates on July 16, 2009 was arrested. You know who that is?
Nope.
I didn't know who he was either, which is probably kind of sad because he's kind of a big deal in like the African American community because he deals with a lot of race. He's a American historian. Hmm. So he works a lot with PBS doing like African American documentaries and stuff. And he wrote a couple of books and stuff, but he was arrested. So Tom gets arrested by Anne and
Mark gets reported by them.
Report him as a possible break-in to the van. This was parallel to how Gates got arrested because he was coming back home from China and he was trying to get into his own house, and for some reason the door was jammed. So him and his driver start trying to open the door, and then the cops show up, like a civilian, like he's like just walking by, calls the cops on him, and he gets arrested for disorderly conduct in front of his house, trying to break into his own house. And there was a lot of controversy after that, but the charges were originally dropped. But there was a lot of controversy about regarding race and stuff, which is very relevant for our time right now. But I just thought that was pretty interesting. And actually rewatching the scene and reading of that story, it was pretty parallel exactly what happened, because Tom just starts insulting him, Louis C.K.
And Henry Louis Gates insulted the cop?
Yeah, I mean, it was for disorderly conduct, so that's what happened. I didn't see the video.
You've been on a plane flight back from China. You just want to get inside your house.
Yeah, I would be pretty angry, too.
The door's not opening, and somebody walks up and goes, "Who are you? This isn't your house."
When I got locked out of my own house, I was thinking that the whole time. I was like, oh, God, we've only lived here for, like, 3 days. Somebody's going to think I'm breaking into my house. And I'm, like, in my pajamas. I was, like, in a Ninja Turtle t-shirt and some leggings. The dogs are in the backyard barking.
Oh.
I had to ask the lawn guy.
I feel like you just should have asked the Mallorys to break in for you.
Nobody, I didn't have a phone on me. I had nothing. I had to ask, there was a guy doing the lawn for one of our neighbors. And I had to ask him for a phone. And my, I remember I had two numbers that I called. I called Brad and I called my mom. And Brad, of course, didn't answer because he was at work and he doesn't check his voicemail. So I was like, this is a strange number. So I basically just left him a voicemail. I was like, you're never going to hear this ever, but please come get me because I'm locked outside. Yeah. And I had to call my mom and she's like freaking out. What do I do? What do I do? And I'm like, I don't know. I got to give this nice man his phone back. So I'll be in the backyard. Somebody help me.
Shout out to the long guy.
But I debated. I was only outside for about 45 minutes, which wasn't too bad. And it wasn't like way too hot outside. And I had the two dogs with me, but... I was like, I don't know if I'm ever getting back in.
I can see it from the inside. It looks so cozy in there.
She wasn't in the backyard. I don't know where she was.
Proud of you, Brad.
He did. He showed up pretty quickly, too. It was nice. So that was my lunch early. That was my own little moment of... That's my own moment of thinking the neighbors are just like, who the hell is this girl? She's not breaking. She's some type of drug addict wearing a Ninja Turtle t-shirt. I don't know why that would be a drug addict. I just needed more pizza or something. I don't know.
You are high as a kite.
You are high as a kite. Speaking of high, I never found that weed in the garden.
Oh, yeah. What happened to it? I kind of am inclined to go with Louis C.K.'s interpretation of it, that she found the weed, pretended like she was like, wait, what? Let's do a stakeout. But in turn, before her and Tom did the stakeout, she went, took the weed away to get it out of her garden or whatever, and she still went through with the stakeout so she could watch Anna and Mark.
It's very possible.
Which, speaking of which, she's the worst person doing a stakeout because she's just like...
she's so awful.
She starts to like... She starts to make it okay by wearing all black, and then all of a sudden she's just like... Let me sit here, and she's like, shovel, or what is she just like? She's like,
shovel guitar.
Shovel guitar. Shovel guitar.
Then Tom looks and says,
bucket drum. Bucket drum.
And she's also giving everybody extreme amounts of sugar.
Yes.
Oh, whenever Andy ate that necklace, it grossed me out. I was like,
ugh. I thought it was awesome where he just shovels it in his mouth, and then they're just sitting there watching, they're like, there's a string on that.
Nope, not this one. Nope.
Not this one. And he just...
I mean, to be fair, that's how everybody eats a candy necklace, right? And then you just pull the string up?
Totally.
No. Nope, never.
And there's not string and beer.
On this episode of...
There is string and beer.
Is it racist or not? Leslie was kind of racist again.
Yeah.
She asked Tom where he's from. He says South Carolina. She's like, yeah, but like, where were you from before that? Like Libya, right? And he's like, no, my mom's uterus. Second reference to uterus this episode.
Yep.
Poor racist Leslie, nope. We still love you.
Did you catch his real name?
Yes, I have it. Darwish Zabil Ishwangani. That is his name.
I wonder if his real name is Aziz.
At least that's, like, my hooked on phonics version of what his name is.
Not to be racist, but...
Aziz is a pretty cool name.
It is. I like it.
It is pretty cool.
Me too.
And he's a pretty cool dude.
He is a pretty cool dude. I like him a lot. I was stalking his girlfriend the other day, like his real-life girlfriend. Because he was talking about in an article that, like, his... Master of None similarly paralleled like a couple stories between him and his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. She's a cook. She
really loves pasta?
Or a chef, I guess I should say. She's a chef, and they met at a restaurant in New York.
His real name is Ishmael Ansari.
Oh, it's Ishmael?
Mm-hmm. Aziz Ishmael Ansari. That's cool. We love you. You're 32. You were born 3 days before me. We're soulmates. Leave her.
Aziz, come on the podcast. We love you.
Yes. I won't try and kiss you.
What? Were you trying to say that like Tom Haverford, though? Please come on the show.
Everything's ruined. Aziz, never come on the show.
Speaking of adorable Tom, what did you think of him complimenting Leslie and then immediately being like, no,
I immediately wrote down episode MVP Tom just because I thought he was so sweet in that moment. And I think the MVP could definitely be Ron because he was hilarious with his hernia. But I was just like, oh, Tom, you like secretly really love Leslie and I think you really care about people.
Right. I think it depends on what you're basing this episode off. Funniest by far, Ron.
Yeah.
But like, Tom also went through a little hell himself this episode.
For him to still like love Leslie and care for her after like she put him through this stakeout where he ended up getting arrested and stuff. Like
back to the car, like he just turns around and just puts Brent Danowitz on blast. And it's wonderful.
Yes.
And that's what Leslie's just like, oh, he's like, keep it in your pants, nope.
I love it. I love that he said that to her because it needs to be said.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not going to come from Anne.
Right.
And she has to stop pining over him. And with the awkward, like, sexual tension between the first episode, where she's, like, trying to convince herself, like, there's nothing there, it's nothing. It was really nice for somebody to just say, hey, I just want to slap you in the face and be like,
Stop it,
because there's probably somebody nearby that's pretty cool and that you should be friends with.
Oh.
He's pretty
Ron?
Cool.
He's got a hernia in this episode. Not Ron.
Well, he'll bounce back eventually.
So I am going to say I really did enjoy this episode, so I'm going to give it the highest rating I've ever given an episode before. It's going to be a 4.6. Ooh. Only because I'm saving my 5. I'm saving it.
I went for it. I went there.
4.6 out of 5 Ron fucking Swansons.
That's pretty good. Pretty good ranking.
Thank you.
I actually went pretty high too. I gave it a 4.75 out of 5 bags of gorp.
How did I miss the gorp comment?
It was really quick because she was just like pulling it out of the bag and she was like, gorp? And I was just like, fucking gorp? What is this?
What is this?
What do you say?
This was also probably my favorite moment in this episode. I will give it 4.5 Andy's diving into a pit.
Yes. That was totally...
he just did it so quickly.
What do you think, like, in real life, the production team had down there? Is it like a foam pit or like a trampoline?
It's one that's just
I thought it would be like the
giant. Wouldn't it be great if you see him bounce back up?
yeah. I thought it would be, you know, like from those summer camps, like the big glob. Like,
yeah.
The beginning of Lethal Weapon. That's what I would go with too.
Huh?
The blob.
The beginning of Lethal Weapon. When Riggs jumps off the building with the guy who's trying to be suicidal and then just land on the thing.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Lethal Weapon in probably the...
kids.
Padding.
Probably about 15 years.
Padding.
I'm younger than all of you and I've seen Lethal Weapon.
You know what I was talking about.
I do.
I think I saw one Lethal
Weapon.
You've only seen Lethal Weapon 5.
Murtaugh.
Really?
Is that the most recent one in like 2012?
Lethal Weapon 5.
That was
always funny.
Lethal Weapon 5.
Oh god, I've seen those. They're
They switch.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good.
4 out of 5 cop jackets you can't actually have.
Yes, I like that one.
That was good.
Do you think he
better keep the jacket?
Do you think he gave that to her? No, not this episode.
I totally think he did.
What do you mean by that, boy?
I mean, the best thing about that is, like, he says all the stuff to her that he says to other people, and he just gets the standard responses from them, or I'm sure he said that before, but then she actually says something he doesn't expect, and it intrigues him.
So...
because she's super cute.
But it's also weird seeing him not just cursing up a goddamn fucking storm.
Wait, I'm curious.
Cursing up a goddamn fucking storm.
Did we officially give Tom Haverford the MVP for this episode?
Yeah.
I actually wrote Ron fucking Swanson. I did.
He is the best
Are we a split decision?
If I were an NFL quarterback, instead of Omaha, I would say Ron fucking Swanson.
Ooh. See,
what do we do in the MVP tiebreaker?
Ooh, dun, 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 dun. Do we have a tiebreaker round?
Like I would say
lightning round.
Let's say this: whoever had the best quote of the episode,
ooh,
which I think has to go.
I was just gonna go with the old fashioned rock paper scissors.
So only the best quote. Obviously, yours is wrong.
All right, Tammy.
Yeah,
rock paper scissors shoot.
Ready?
Rock paper scissors shoot. Yeah!
Oh! Tom Haverford.
I tried, Ron. I tried.
Or is it Tommy Hilfiger?
Tommy Hilfiger.
Oh, Tommy Hilfiger.
Tommy Two-Tone.
No, I spent $130 getting this embroidered.
love it. All right. Congrats, Tom. Aziz Ansari.
That also goes back to kind of his homophobic tendencies where he got the same colored shirt as the gay people in the bulge. Couple got him.
Love it.
Yeah. So, Tammy, is there any new shows, anything you want to talk about? Anything you're watching? What you watching? Tammy, what you watching, girl?
Yes. I am watching Fargo on FX. And Tyler and I actually were both watching it together. We started with the second season because it's like an anthology, like American Horror Story, where the first season and the second season, totally different. Different characters, different stories. And this is, I mean, it's fantastic. It's shot awesome. The score is awesome. Every single character is, I wouldn't say likable, but like in a sense of watching them, they're extremely likable. Like you don't have one character where you're like, oh God, I wish the scene would be over because it's so boring.
Can I ask you, do you like Kirsten Dunst in it?
I do like Kirsten Dunst in it. I think she's hilarious and very interesting. It's a very dark comedy. So like it's super effing dark, but then there's also really great humor to it. And their accents are awesome.
What about the link to Parks and Recreation, Nick Offerman?
I totally forgot.
Yes, Nick Offerman is the king of breakfast in Fargo, which you really? Fargonians, if you watch it, you'll know what we're talking about. But
he's the king of breakfast in Parks and Rec, too.
I know.
I totally think we should add that to the list of what we're going to watch, because I've been dying to watch it.
Oh, it's so good.
But it's also something you can wrap up in, like, a day or two, and it just fits perfectly in its size.
That's why this show is all about binge-watching.
Yeah. Ooh. It's super interesting, and I kind of like thinking back to the season, which is almost over. I really think it's only happening, like, maybe within the span of less than a week. But it's... Each episode is, like, so... This sounds super weird, but it's, like, meaty. Like, it's full of so just, meaty. Like... Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. But it's just, like, full of life. And the accents help, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they're hilarious.
The Minnesota... There's a really good cast, and I've been dying to watch
such
it.
Such a good cast.
So
oh, my God.
Watch the first season, though.
Yeah, Billy Bob Thornton, Martin Freeman. Mm-hmm. How can you not
actually
watch
have
that?
It,
but... You do?
Yeah, the first season.
Let's watch it.
We have it because my mom, I bought it for Christmas last year.
Oh, nice.
And she's been begging me to watch it since then.
Oh,
and
my
I was
God.
Just, we just haven't started it.
She started watching it because she loves the movie.
The movie Fargo, yeah.
Like, the movie's good, but it's not one of the best coming.
You take that back. I love that movie so much.
Whoa.
But I also grew up on that movie. Shout out to Janice Garson.
You shout out to your mom and your dad?
Out to Bob this entire episode. Bob, I'm so sorry. Wait, no,
we
talked about Dab Dab.
Yeah, but it's been
never
a little
mind.
While.
It's been a little while. Bob, we love you.
It's been a while.
Bob Garza, not
shout
Bob.
Out to Lisa Kelly.
Oh,
you're Lisa.
First off on tomorrow.
The Water Queen.
Do you sing to her on her birthday and be like, Lisa, it's your birthday?
Please do. Happy birthday, Lisa.
You're not Simpsons fans, I'm good.
That's Michael Jackson singing that, man.
Nope.
My favorite Michael Jackson is the episode of The Simpsons that he's on that you guys are referencing. Because the first couple times I saw that episode, I didn't actually know it was Michael Jackson.
So, I actually found out something weird the other day.
What is
Michael
not
Jackson's,
Michael Jackson? He's actually, what is this?
Michael name? Jackson's gravity lean thing? He had special shoes with, like, cables in the bottom.
Is this in real life?
Yeah,
this is, like, the secret to it. He had special shoes that, like, clipped in. That when
like
you lean
stopped
forward,
on a certain part of the
yeah,
stage.
Him and like the rest of his dance crew, they
what?
All had these things.
Somebody's
shoes.
Been
and
reading BuzzFeed articles.
And they had
also, never seen Captain Neo.
I haven't either.
Nope.
What do you mean? No.
Captain EO is this cinematronic experience that was at Epcot for a multitude of years.
No one cares.
Well, actually, it was a film that was made for way too much money by George Lucas, Francis Ford Coppola, Michael Jackson, and Spielberg. And it's just huge, just like turn. It's you where we saw that Tomorrowland preview.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of the Saturday Night Live. Did you see him? SNL Star Wars auditions and Bobby Moynihan.
John Hamm's the best.
Is George Lucas, and he's like, you will get me a Diet Pepsi. You will get me. And he's moving his hand. You will get me a Diet Pepsi. Just do good.
So I would actually recommend my show for people to watch is, just because we just watched the last episode, was Last Man on Earth.
Oh,
it is good. So good. Yeah. I always recommend this show to people because it's so lighthearted and funny, and it's just great. And it's not always like that stupid like slapstick like humor. It's actually gets a little serious sometimes.
Yeah.
It brings, because it is such a serious subject. They're the last people. Well, obviously,
yeah.
If you watch the show, or even if you've seen a preview, there's more than just.
Yeah,
you know, he's not the only one alive, that there are other people that he does find, and they don't really ever say what's going on or anything, so it gets a little serious, but it is very lighthearted, and it's really, really, really funny.
How many seasons has it been?
They're on their second season.
Okay, and they just did, this past week was, like, the first part of their hiatus, and then they're going to come back.
Okay.
Every show is a fall finale now.
Well, nobody wants to compete with Christmas, so...
Yeah. Well, with that show, like, there's only one person that I know that watches it at work, and we just literally sound crazy when we're talking about every episode. Because we're like, oh, what would I do on the last?
Yeah, and everybody's always like, oh, do you mean Last Man Standing? And I'm like, no.
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 No. Not what we mean.
Reevaluate your life choices, lady.
So Last Man on Earth, definitely check that one out. It is definitely worth watching, and it's pretty quick to watch as well.
It's very accurate to what I think most people would do if they were the last person on Earth.
Yep.
They would just do this crazy stuff.
Yeah, Brad would totally be Phil Miller.
Oh.
Phil Miller.
At times. You're a Tandy man.
I'm a Tandy man.
For those of you guilty pleasures out there, Vanderpump Rules is always a good one to watch. And I'm done.
Did you have anything else that you wanted to... Any shows you want to watch?
No, like, that's really... Any shows
that you are, like, looking forward to watching?
Ooh.
Like, on your list?
What?
Fine, let's give a shout out to one of my favorite TV shows of all time that just wrapped up this week, The League.
Aww.
It's really bittersweet, and it's one of those best examples of a show just going out on top. And
it was.
Yeah, it was the last episode. It's done.
Yeah, it was done. It's sad, but it was good.
Although Kevin probably needed something to redeem himself.
He gets shit on pretty much that entire season, yeah.
Does he really?
Steve Razanese, or Razanazi, the guy who plays Kevin on the show, and fortunately lied about being in one of the Twin Towers on 9/11.
You were telling me about that.
Turns out there's not even... He said he worked for Merrill Lynch at the time.
There's a Merrill office in there, but he never actually worked
there. Yeah, he didn't work there. That was his lie.
Ooh. Yeah, it was a bad lie.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I wonder what he's going to be doing now.
Yeah, probably not.
Not being friends with anyone.
That's what IMDb to watch.
I'll be honest.
All like B-movies, independent.
So I have not been watching a whole lot of stuff. Lately, I've been reading a book.
What book?
But it's called Why the Last Man, and it's very enjoyable, very similar to...
What is your
Brian K. Vaughan?
And it was most recently optioned and then turned down at the last second to be directed by Dan Trachtenberg.
It was going to be.
The guy who made that really good Portal fan film.
Yeah.
And also, what's it called?
But actually, it got picked back up.
But he's no longer attached. They got somebody else on the
show. No, it's FX picked it up.
They're doing a TV show now instead of a movie.
Which
is
you guys
better.
Wait for Why the Last Man, the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Because
highly recommend reading the book. It is one of those that you really can't put down. It's a graphic novel.
Interesting.
Just five
books
total.
You
absolutely. I love that. I've been trying to get him to read that for a while. And every single time he's, I see him reading it, I'm like, you sit there, you finish this, you keep going.
You go,
sometimes
Brad.
When she's like, man, I need you to do something, I'll just pick it up real quick, and then I get it.
You can't put it down. It's tough.
Are you done with it? Did you finish it?
I'm on the fifth book, but you can borrow the first book.
Whoa, there's five. I'm excited.
There's five of them. But yes, if you are a reader, I would highly recommend it. It's a good piece of literature.
I recommend The Girl on the Train. That's a really good book. And I'm done.
I recommend reading, American Gods.
Ooh.
You should totally read American Gods. Wow, it's so good, by Neil Gaiman. That's actually going to be a TV series as well, so what's relevant?
Yes!
I recommend J-Pod by Douglas Copeland.
Oh, you've been pushing that one for
one
a while.
One of my favorite TV shows of all time.
You've been talking about that
old
for
hat,
years.
Tyler.
Can't learn new tricks. Poor little bub.
If you like our show, you can email us at podsandrec@gmail.com. That's podsandrec@gmail.com. Send us your comments, questions, anything that you'd like us to maybe talk about on the show, send it on over. We also have an Instagram account where you can follow us at podsandrec. That's podsandrec.
I'm very excited about it. And thank you, Tyler and Brad, for joining us.
Absolutely.
Have beer, we'll record.
Mm. Bye, guys.
Bye.
I like Miss Snope. I liked her. I gotta say, I when I first met her, I didn't care much for her because, like 99% of the people in any given day of my life, she was very belligerent and disagreeable. Miss Snope was attractive to me as a man. I was attracted to her in her demeanor. I was attracted to her in a sexual manner that was appropriate. I don't want to talk about this anymore.